All right, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to hold your place there and then turn over to Luke chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 first. And then Luke chapter 5. I want to read two verses in 1 Corinthians 6, and then we'll move back over to Luke 5. But to introduce the message here this afternoon, and the title of the message is Count the Cost. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." These verses clearly teach us that as children of God, we are not our own. We're bought with a price. And because of that, we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirits, which belong to the Lord. Because we are not our own, we are commanded here to bring glory to our owner, to God, who owns our lives. And that is the primary purpose of a child of God, is for his or her life, the life that God has granted us with, that it bring glory to the Lord. Okay, so that's the foundation, the primary purpose of your life. It's not to have a huge retirement account. Praise the Lord if that's the Lord blesses you with that, but that's not the function, that's not the purpose, that's not the goal of your life. The primary purpose of my life is not to enjoy as much vacation time and fishing time that I possibly can. If the Lord allows that in my life, then praise the Lord for it. I'll thank Him for it, but that's not my purpose. That's not what that should not be the drive of my life. My life should be a given to bring glory to God. In whatever way He chooses to do that, but the primary purpose is to glorify my owner, which is God, who purchased me, who bought me with His own blood. One of the ways in which we bring glory to the Lord is through fulfilling and being obedient to God's command for our life and purpose of being a witness for Jesus Christ. Being a witness for Christ, a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, is something that brings much glory to God through my life. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 5. And I want to look at Luke chapter 5 here in this account of this miracle that Jesus worked in front of Peter and other of his disciples. And the purpose of it really was to teach them a lesson regarding catching men. And the purpose of the lesson was to teach them that, you know, in serving the Lord and being a fisher of men, it's going to require some things. And I want to look through this passage, because so often being obedient to the Lord and fulfilling God's purpose for our life and bringing glory to Him is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something, and that's why the title of the message is Count the Cost. Many times people are, you know, there's ebbs and flows in the Christian life. Sometimes we're really excited about serving the Lord. Sometimes we're really in tune and we're excited about serving the Lord. And then other times when we realize that serving the Lord in the way that He desires, in the way that He wants to get glory out of my life, actually is going to cost me something. And all too often, there are people who, when they realize this, are not willing to give up certain things, and so they're not willing to pay the price, they're not willing to take up their cross, and the result is that they become stagnant, stale, fizzle out, they get preoccupied with other things, and they end up not bringing glory to the Lord in their life like God intends and God desires. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account. I want to be able to stand before the Lord with something to offer Him. Amen. What will serving the Lord require? What will catching men require? Let's look at this passage of Scripture. Beginning in verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want you to go to the Lord with me in prayer, and then we'll consider a couple of principles from this passage. Lord, I pray that you give us understanding, and Lord, I pray that you'd instruct us from your word today and encourage and challenge our hearts in this issue of catching men, in this issue of bringing glory to the Lord through this life that you have given to us. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us and establish us in the faith and in the work. And Lord, I pray that you would be able to receive much glory and honor through your people. In Jesus' name, amen. What will serving the Lord require? What will catching of men require? Well, there's a couple of things I just want to draw out. There are more in this passage, but for the sake of time, we'll only consider two here this afternoon. But the first thing that I see that it will require is some personal sacrifice. Some personal sacrifice. Serving the Lord, bringing glory to God with your life, being a fisher of men is going to require some personal sacrifice. I want you to notice verse 5, where Simon, when Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Here's Peter's response. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Simon Peter said to the Lord, he said, we've toiled all the night. We've labored all the night in this business. The word toil means to exert strength. It means to exert strength with pain and often fatigue. It means to labor. It means to contend. It means to struggle. So you get the picture here. All the night, Simon Peter had been out fishing, laboring with pain, with fatigue, struggling in this business of catching fish. And he's tired from the labor, from the work. And then he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. I'll do it again because of the word. But then notice verse 10, when Jesus gets to the point of what all this is about, Jesus says, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. He says, fear not. Jesus wanted to teach them a lesson here about following Christ. Teach them a lesson about being a fisher of men. That it would take some work and it would take some sacrifice. But it's really not about your labor. It's not about my labor. It's not really about my effort. It's really more about the power of Christ. But I still need to be willing to put in the sacrifice and the labor. Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. It's going to take some sacrifice. What is it going to require? It's going to require some personal sacrifice. There's going to be, listen, in laboring for the Lord, in working for the Lord, in ministry, of Plaque Road Baptist Church, it's going to require an element of physical toiling, of physical labor. Look with me and over in Luke chapter 14. Hold your place here in Luke chapter 14. Verse 23, Luke 14, 23. Well, we'll go back to verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The Lord of that servant, after the servant had done what he was commanded to do, the Lord of the servant said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. There had to be some effort and labor in going out to where they were at. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 20, where the Apostle Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders, he was telling them how I ceased not to go house to house, door to door, teaching, testifying, preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul gives some insight into this, to the fact that in serving the Lord, it's going to require some physical labor and some physical toiling. He does that very clearly in this passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved 1. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things concerning mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. Paul said and listed all of the different things that it cost him in serving the Lord. A couple of different times in this passage, amongst all of the perils, he says there were labors more abundant, in weariness, in journeyings, from place to place, in different things, in different areas. Paul was willing to put in the work and the physical labor and the physical effort. You know what? Sometimes we do get weary. Sometimes it requires sacrifice, extra time, and extra work. There are many times when in the years of ministry where no one's around and no one knows. No one knows what I'm doing. No one knows what I'm busy with. But there's something that needs to get done. There's something that needs to be there, because if I don't do it, it won't get done. But I need to. I have to. Yes, it's a duty. Yes, it's a responsibility. But I do it because I want to give glory to the Lord with my life. But it requires some effort. It requires some sacrifice. There's lots of times when I would rather be doing something else. I would rather not be spending every night of the week over at the church until midnight. There's times when that happens. There's times when we feel like I would rather not come to Great Commission Day. There's times when I would rather, in my flesh. You understand what I'm saying? You get it. But serving the Lord and being a fisher of men is going to require sacrifice. It's going to require labor. There are times when I'd rather not turn my truck around to go give a gospel tract to that guy, because I'm busy with what I'm doing. But the Spirit of God says, no, I want you to go do that. Sometimes we do get weary, but you know what? It's part of sacrifice. Peter had toiled all the night, and he said, "We've struggled and we've labored all the night. Nevertheless, at thy word." Listen, there's an element of physical labor that it's going to cost us. It's going to take effort sometimes, but you know what? It's really not about our labor. It's not dependent on our labor as much as it is dependent on Christ's power. We sang a song just this afternoon, the first one we sang. And I don't even remember the title of the song. But the words, part of the words of the song in laboring for souls was that the strength for your labor, the Lord will provide. But we need to be willing to put in the labor. We must be willing to do the work. And Jesus made this point clear to Peter as well, because after he obeyed the Lord and they experienced this miracle and this overflow of a catch of fish, even after they've been physically toiling all night long, Peter said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus' words were, fear not, because from henceforth I'm going to make you fishers of men. You're going to catch men. You depend on me. There's an element of physical toiling, but you know what? There's also an element of spiritual toiling that it's going to cost. That labor, that fatigue in seeking after souls. Listen, every attempt to win the lost for Christ is an attack on Satan's kingdom. He doesn't like that, doesn't want that, and he's going to fight. It's a blessing to be able to have people to minister to. It's a blessing to be able to have Bible studies with people and be able to, you know, to give them the Word of God. But how many times does it happen where you have one Bible study and someone comes to know Christ? Week after week after week, sometimes month after month after month. It takes some spiritual effort and spiritual toiling for the souls of men. Satan's going to fight. He doesn't want his kingdom attacked. Listen, that's why we toil and labor in the work. It's often why the work of the Lord can sometimes be fatiguing and discouraging if our eyes aren't in the right place. Satan is going to attempt to discourage us with the work of God. Discouragement comes often when we experience a lack of results. Listen, if that's what our goal is, our desire and our drive will soon be diminished because we don't see an abundance of results. If our eyes are in the wrong place, we can be discouraged with the work. Because it is fatigue, it is labor. Why don't people respond? Why don't people get it? Well, listen, we need to serve. We need to go. We need to witness because of the command of the Lord. And then let the Lord just do His job and let the Lord do His work. We go and we labor and we witness because of His command and our love for Him. We have promises in the Word of God. Like Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. I talk about bearing precious seed. Let's go over there. And coming again with rejoicing. In Psalm 126, in verse 5. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." There's the promise. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We need to go and we need to serve and we need to witness because of the command and let the Lord do his work. God promised that his word would not return void. Galatians 6:9 says, "To be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 3 talks about Jesus considering him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. In Hebrews 12 in verse 3, For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Our eyes need to be in the right place because Satan is going to discourage us or try to discourage us with the work. Satan's going to attempt to delay us in the work of the Lord too. He's going to do all that he can to keep us from bringing glory to the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Paul says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Satan is actively involved trying to delay us, hinder us in the work of the Lord. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And we're commanded to resist steadfastly in the faith. What's the answer to spiritual fatigue, spiritual toiling? What's the answer to keep from being discouraged or distracted or delayed in the work of the Lord? Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah 40 and verse 28, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." In our physical ability, even the youths will become weary. They'll faint in our own physical strength. But God is never weary. God never faints. And the secret is, and the key is, to wait upon the Lord. This word wait here, it means to wrap around. It means to hold tight. It means to basically to encircle those that will cling to the Lord and wrap themselves around the Lord shall renew their strength. That word renew, it means to exchange. Those that wrap themselves around the Lord are going to exchange their physical strength with God's strength, who is never weary, who never faints, who never grows tired. And then we mount up with wings as eagles. We run. We're not weary. The key is having our eyes on the Lord. Listen, the work of the Lord can be physically toiling. It can be discouraging if our eyes are not in the right place. Satan's going to try to delay us in the work. You know what? Personal issues of life can be a hindrance to the work of the Lord. Satan wants to do all that he can to delay you from serving the Lord, from reaching souls. Personal issues of life can be a hindrance to distract us. And I would simply encourage you, listen, church member, don't lose sight of your purpose. Don't lose sight of your purpose to glorify God with your life. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get delayed in serving the Lord because of personal issues or business issues or other things that come up in life. Don't lose sight of your purpose. Satan's going to attempt to distract us from the work all that he can. In Luke chapter 5, in our text, Peter stated here in verse 4, "And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." In verse 5, Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We've worked, and I'm tired. I'm really tired." So often that can be a distraction from the work. Personal issues, financial issues, relationship issues, externals. They can all be distractions from the work. But that's the devil's plan, to keep people, God's people, on the shelf and keep them from really glorifying the Lord with their life. There has to be an element of physical labor and sacrifice. It means laying aside what I would rather do. It means, because my love for the Lord is greater than my own personal desires, I want to please Him, I want to glorify Him, I'm willing to put in the work and the extra time and the extra effort. But so often our priorities are all mixed up, and we place higher value on things that are actually of no value. They have some temporal value, but they certainly don't have eternal. But that's all part of the devil's plan, to keep God's people on the shelf and keep them from really glorifying the Lord. Are we willing to put in the work? Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to labor? Even when I don't feel like it, even when I'm tired, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do that for the Lord because of who He is and what He's done for me. Being a soul winner is going to require some labor, some effort. But then, secondly, it requires participation. Go back to our text in Luke chapter 5. Look at verses 6 through 10. And when they had thus done, so when he obeyed the Lord, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know what? It requires some participation and some partnership. When they caught all of these fish and they obeyed the Lord, they desired that their brothers, their partners, would come over and help them for all that they had taken. Listen, teamwork and partnership is essential and a vital part in soul winning and the work of the Lord. We've talked about this many times. The primary function of a New Testament church is to carry out the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those are our marching orders from the Lord. But a church only functions according to its individual members. It's all of our job. It requires teamwork and partnership in the work of the Lord. Look at Philippians chapter 1. With me. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Here's the church in Philippi that Paul says that he wanted to hear, that they were striving, working together for the faith of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 28, Colossians 1, 28, Paul says, Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. He says, we, in verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. The we he's talking about is Paul's companions in his journey. He says, we labor, we preach. It's partnership. It's together. in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. One more passage here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But he talks about here about himself. He talks about Apollos, how I've planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. We all have a job. We all have a part. And we're laborers together with God. The Lord Jesus Christ started this thought with his disciples. You can read about it in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus called unto him his disciples and he began to send them out two by two, working together, laboring together. The Spirit of God continued that in Acts chapter 13. Remember at the church at Antioch, how there were all of these pastors in the church. They were all serving the Lord in the church at Antioch. And the Spirit of God said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them together, laboring. There's a reason. Because in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, turn there with me, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he that hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The principle is that two are better than one. They have a good reward in their labor, but there's always there one to help and encourage and strengthen when another is down. And the point is it requires participation. Woe to him that is alone. It's not just one man's job or two men's job. It requires participation. In the case of our text, when Peter obeyed the Lord began to bless. And Peter said, hey, brothers, you got to come over here. You got to help us. You got to see this. You got to be a participant in what God is doing. And what a tremendous illustration of what God can do in the life of a church. Listen, when there's one or two or three who are diligent and who are on fire for serving the Lord and reaching souls, and they're having Bible studies and they're praying, what a wonderful thing to say, hey, brother, come on over and help us. Be a part of this. Of what God is doing. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't sit in the bleachers. Get in the game and commit to serving the Lord and giving glory to God with your life. Let me encourage you this afternoon in the work. Allow the Lord to use you and then encourage your brother and your sister to get in the game. And get involved. You know what? Sometimes it's different with different people. Sometimes it's not a matter of desire in serving the Lord. Sometimes there's a desire there, but they're depending on the wrong source of strength. They're working and laboring in their own strength. And there's toil and fatigue and pain in all of that and not trusting in the Lord. Other times, people don't have their priorities right. They're searching after, pursuing after all kinds of other temporal things, and there's not a desire in their heart. To see souls saved. What's required? Some participation. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. You know what? Let me encourage you. Be a witness for Christ. Serve the Lord. Get involved. Your priorities aren't straight. You're focused on the wrong things. You're missing the main thing. Other times, as brother, hey, I know you got a strong desire to serve God. Man, the source of our strength is only in the Lord, though. Let's go. Keep going. Keep going. Come on. And encourage one another. One way to do that is for God's people to pray together. God's people to partner together in prayer over a particular soul, a particular ministry. You know, we get together for all kinds of fun. We get together for all kinds of entertainment. I'm guilty of this as much as anybody. What's lacking so often is taking time and setting time aside to encourage one another in the labor of the Lord. Hey, let's take some time to pray that God would open up some doors for us for ministry to natives in Alaska. Hey, we're having this get together, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to encourage one another in our service to the Lord as well. It's going to be fun, but we're going to take some dedicated time to ask the Lord to give us His strength, to open up the doors. There's something about that that begins to permeate and it begins to have an effect, a positive spiritual effect on our brothers and sisters. I think sometimes people are just too embarrassed to do that kind of thing. As if talking about the Lord and as if serving the Lord is something to shy away from. Well, maybe it becomes embarrassing if our own heart is not really in the right place. I want to encourage you in the work to allow the Lord to use your life. Be willing to put in the effort. Be willing to take up your cross. It's going to cost you something. But in doing so, it's going to be pleasing and glorifying to the Lord. We need to surrender ourselves. We need to encourage one another and allow the Lord to do His work. These are good reminders. We're just gearing up for May and Missions Month and all of that. But all of that is really worthless if there's not going to be a heart to personally apply and be that vessel that God can take and God can use. Amen. We need to count the cost, but it's well worth it because of the glory it brings to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, encourage your people today. Maybe some need to have some adjustments in their focus and priorities. Maybe some are really too consumed with the temporal, the here and the now, living for what pleases me today. Not really dedicated, focused, or willing to pay the price. Like these disciples who were fishers, who when they had brought their ships back to land, they forsook all and followed Christ. They forsook their careers for the sake of following Christ. They set aside any personal ambition for the sake of following Christ and the gospel. And Jesus would make them fishers of men. Lord, may we have that same kind of desire and same kind of surrender and yieldedness to the Lord. Lord, I'm willing to put in the work and the effort and the labor. Lord, I'm willing to forsake all to follow You. Just use my life to bring glory to Yourself. Use me in the life of someone who's not saved. Take my mouth, take my hands, take my feet, take my will. Make it Thine own. Lord, may that be the desire of our heart. And I pray that each one would examine their heart and their life today. Is that really me? Am I really willing to forsake all for Christ? Am I willing to be used up for the Lord? Am I willing to be put in a situation that I'm not really comfortable in, but I'm not going to fear. I'm going to trust in the Lord and His power. And Lord, I pray that we would come to that place of full surrender, realizing that we are not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's